Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
What is going on this Wednesday, everybody? December the 18th. We're in the 7 o'clock hour now of Sports Talk. Rolling on. We just talked about a lot of Packers with Tom Silverstein. He's a beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll get in more with Black and Gold Talk with the Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak coming up after the first break. The big news today for the Saints, Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the boot, baby. He got claimed off of waivers after being released by the Kansas City Chiefs and gives the Saints another running back on the practice squad right now. We'll see what happens leading up to Monday Night Football. That's obviously going to be a big question going into this week. Will Helaire, if needed, have enough time to be ready to suit up on Monday night in Green Bay? But right now, going to get into a little more Pelicans talk. They're 5-22 on the season. Have a game tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets, and there has been a lot of outside noise going on around this team with the trade rumors swirling around, and they might just be that, trade rumors, but we've heard basically everybody's name except Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, and Yves Missi being available if teams come a-calling. And it's kind of something that we've been talking about a ton, because what is this roster going to look like moving forward? Head coach Willie Green and the rest of the team had a practice today at their facility in Metairie as they get ready for this road trip to Houston. Here's a little of what Willie Green had to say as the team preps for everything between the trade rumors and getting ready for the Rockets.
How much of a challenge is Houston as far as, like, their defense is elite and some of the stuff that you're going to have to do against them?
Well, we're expecting a physical defense. Guys are going, they're going to have their hands on us. They're going to try to take us out of our sets. And that's what we've been working on the last couple of days, is being able to execute on both ends of the floor. But definitely offensively, knowing that those guys are one of the better defensive teams in the league.
Well, really, how much of a challenge is it right now, right? Team didn't start off at all the way you would probably envision. 5-22. I think about 10 games, right? 9.5 games behind Ted in the playing Saints. How are you looking at the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, right now, like you said, we've been hit with some challenges, unexpected challenges. I don't think anybody here could have predicted that we were going to deal with the amount of injuries that we've dealt with. But then you got to embrace this. You got to embrace the adversity, embrace this opportunity to help young guys get better and grow. And at the same time, you know, just concentrate on what we can control and try to work on things in practice, try to take it game by game. You know, hopefully we get a little bit more healthier in the next coming weeks, and then just, you know, kind of monitor and see where we are.
Winning is always a priority. and also you want to do some development always. Is there kind of a different balance now that you think maybe I should maybe focus this a little bit more on development, get the young guys? Obviously, they're playing like Eve. He's getting a lot of minutes. But is that something that's in the back of your mind, always thinking about the future, maybe even a little more so now?
Well, I think it's been an organic opportunity to develop our team because we've had guys out and they have to play. So we're getting a chance to see, you know, Brandon Boston. We're getting a chance to see Antonio Reeves just a little bit here and there. Jeremiah. Eves has been a huge bright spot for us. So in terms of the development piece, it's happened organically because of the amount of injuries that we've had. And now we're still focused on trying to prepare our guys to win games, compete at the highest level that they can. And that'll be our focus for the near future. And if that changes, if our mindset changes, if we have to look at, you know, where we are and make some adjustments, we'll do that. But for right now, we're going after.
And with the head coach, do you have to do anything to kind of navigate all the, like, it's a coming trade rumors out there? Like, do you have to talk to your guys? Or, like, how do you kind of handle that?
You know, eventually we'll have some discussions on, you know, what's true, what's not true. But for the most part, you know, we try to block out any noise, any distraction. And we got a lot to focus on without that. And our focus is on coming in every day with the right perspectives, getting after it in practice, locking into our film work, and getting prepared for games. And, you know, some of the rumors and some of the things we're hearing is out of our control. But we'll do the best that we can to continue to communicate with our group.
Is it a lot different when you play, though, with the social media? You know, it's so different. I mean, everything's out there.
For sure. It's a lot different. In some ways, that's a positive, because it's, I think, in general, players, staff, we have way more access to information. And so you have an awareness of what's going on in this world because of social media. So it provides some positives. And then at the same time, it can be negative, maybe not so positive, just in terms of hearing trade rumors. You can go on Twitter, you can see it all. And for you to have a healthy perspective, sometimes you just can't. You can't watch that stuff and you can't pay attention. You got to put your phone up, avoid clicking those buttons that, you know, may have your name spoiled in some of those rumors.
Well, Willie, one thing that's been trending up is the amount of three-pointers your team has taken. I think October it was about 31 shots a game, November about 33. Now it's close to 36. Is that kind of a positive development? And do you want to maybe even see more attempts?
Yeah, I love that we're trending up in that category. You know, the thing for us is that we want to get quality threes up. That gives us an opportunity to put more points on the board. It also gives us an opportunity to offensive rebound and get second chance opportunities. So if we can continue to play fast, touch the paint, kick out, get open threes, you know, we'll get some guys back and we'll make some of them. But the beauty in it is the 0.5, sharing the basketball, getting quality looks, and once again, giving us second chance opportunities.
And do you think the makes are just due? Seems like you haven't experienced nearly enough of good shooting like you did last year.
Yeah, they are. You know, we're adjusting because, you know, we're playing against, we got guys that's playing against some of the best defenders on the floor. And, you know, there's some adjustments there. Guys that are used to playing against maybe some second unit guys and not having your top guys on the floor that occupy some of those high level defenders. Now those shots are a little tougher for us. So it's more important offensively that we play with force. It's more importantly that we share the ball, we set screens for each other, and keep the game simple.
And limit turnovers, please.
Dude, I don't even, like, what did I say earlier? I said it was just like tackling. It is. It's just like tackling in the NBA. It's the most fundamental basic thing that you should not be doing. And again, I don't know if it speaks to coaching, if it speaks to players, if it speaks to a lack of connection because Murray's got, what, 10 games under his belt with the squad?
Still, he's never been like this in his career.
Which is another instance where you're like, okay, this is why I'm not ready to attach him to any trades because he doesn't have that much time down here. And if you're ironing out the kinks, iron them out. Don't take the shirt you just put on the iron board and toss it because you feel like you're going to have to do more ironing than you expect.
Well, the problem, obviously, is, you know, you brought this guy in to be the facilitator on your team, and we were all excited, you know, bringing a point guard in, definitely a position of need. And unfortunately, I don't know what it is, but there's definitely a problem there, and it's really bad turnovers you're seeing, too. It's not even, you know, teams playing good defense.
Okay, but if we toss Murray or McCollum, I feel like because of the way our offense is kind of built to run through them, for like first and foremost, I don't think we'll get rid of both. Because at that point, who's bringing the ball to court?
No,
are we just playing street ball and like right. just like freestyling? Like, I'd be surprised if we, and again, that's kind of the thing with Nick, when he mentioned, and I've thought of this recently too, we say we're open for business. How the hell are we going to move on all these players? I'd be stunned if we, I think Ollie said it a couple weeks ago too, I'd be stunned if two or three trades happen or anything more than that. Like, we might get one.
Does another team really want a C.J. McCollum contract? Do they want Zion's contract?
I mean, and we talked about how, like, Jimmy Butler is up in the air right now, and he could be traded, and it's like, if you will teams kind of default? Will they settle if they don't get Butler, or the inverse? If they don't get Ingram, will they go for Butler? And it's like, you don't really know who wants what. Nick was mentioning how, at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like anyone's going to want anything from us. And
I saw there was actually, I forget where it was on Twitter, that coming in, you know, today to the office and seeing that the Denver Nuggets were interested in acquiring Brandon Ingram. What a great piece that would be for that freaking offense.
It's like, what are we going to get, though? It's like, it circles back again to, even if we do inevitably sit down with a team and hammer out the details of a trade, will you pull the trigger because you might get 10 cents on the dollar? Are you desperate enough to accept 10 cents on the dollar? That's the issue.
Yeah, I know the team right now, things look really dire for the Pels. 5-22 on the season. They're on the road tomorrow at Houston. The Rockets right now, 17-9. They've gone 6-4 in their last 10 games. Definitely be interested in this matchup. It'll be a 6:30 pregame coverage on Thursday on 870 a.m. with a 7 o'clock tip-off. We'll have that, like I said, 870 a.m., 105.3 FM. We'll have Thursday night football tomorrow evening, and we'll be at the Treasure Chest Casino counting it all down.
And then they start a nice little home stretch to end out the year, but it's against contenders. It's against people that are, if you're 5-22.
Everybody, it seems like, is a contender against us.
You will then welcome in the Knicks, the Nuggets, the Rockets again, the Grizzlies, the Clippers, and the Heat.
Come on.
Heater away. So is that you in the year?
We don't have any back-to-backs against Utah.
We got a back-to-back on Washington twice on the 3rd and the 5th. So maybe we'll start the year somewhat nice. Yeah. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, you don't. I don't. We talked about this forever ago about how, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that the Pels had 18 losses at that time. At the time I was mentioning this to you, they had 18 losses, and the Celtics had 18 losses all year last year.
Right.
Before the playoffs. And I said, isn't it crazy that we're, you know, not even in December and the Pels have as many losses already that the Pels had through, you know, May? And you were like, yeah, but that's not going to get worse. I can't see where it won't get better.
You mentioned in, obviously, the back-to-back coming up against Washington. That could be a Jonas Valanciunas revenge game.
Don't even put that out there.
Looking at this Pels squad, though, I mean, you still have to have some hope they can get something going. I know a lot of folks are already kind of checked out and looking at the NBA draft lottery, but it's way too early to start even considering that. I don't know if you even think they could be play-in potential still. I don't know if things are that dire yet in the season, but it's obviously not great right now.
The Lakers are the 10th seed in the Western right now at 14-12. So you're like, nine games behind them. You're nine games behind the play-in. Is that a sentence you ever think you'd want to hear, let alone hear?
I saw a T-shirt that was pretty funny online. It said, play-in or bust. That's where we've gotten to the point now.
I think genuinely, I'm not being facetious. I'm not being, you know, like, tongue-in-cheek. Just don't have the worst record. Don't have the worst record in the league. Don't be
that team.
You could be in the bottom of the barrel with how the season's gone. Don't be the bottom of the barrel.
Well, if it gets to that point, I'm hoping at least that the lottery balls bounce in our favor. I don't know.
I mean, because I want to say the lottery ball is like the top three picks have like the highest chance. And like it's the same. So like it's like a 14% chance. So even if you're three, you've got the same chance as you would as a one.
Right.
I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. Their system's a lot trickier than the NFL. But at the end of the day, you'll be in that number right now. I think they're currently sitting at like one or two.
Who will get to six wins first, the Saints or the Pelicans? We're going to talk to Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak after the break. Stay tuned right here on WWL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to let everyone know on the latest episode of Odyssey's original podcast, Inside Black and Gold. The Saints didn't beat the Commanders this week, but they sure made the finish worth the price of admission. Me and Jeff Nowak lay it all out from the studs and duds on Sunday in the Superdome and dive into the very days of Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. I answer the live mailbag questions after week 15. Check it out, Inside Black and Gold podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And happy to welcome in my co-host and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to the radio huddle here on WWL. How's your Wednesday been doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Trying to figure out how I'm going to transition from like 70 and sunny to like low 20s, but I think I'll figure it out. We're getting closer.
I know it's about to dip in temperatures a little bit over here, and I know Coach Rizzi mentioned the fact they're going to be practicing outside this week, but yeah, like a day like today, that's not going to do any kind of prep work for you for Green Bay. Good thing is we had a Green Bay guest on in the 6 o'clock hour and says it shouldn't be too bad considering 30 degrees And really, they're going to get snow maybe tomorrow, the next day, but nothing on Monday night. So it won't be frigid ice, you know, frozen tundra temperatures out there for you.
Yeah, I think the way Riz put it is like, if you can get a temperature with two digits this time of year, you've won.
That's a win, yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of how I feel. But it's not going to be that bad. It's honestly, it's going to feel a lot colder because the game, you know, I don't want to say the game doesn't matter, but you know, there's really not the stakes of this game as it pertains to like what it means to the season are not nearly what they should be. And, you know, I think that's like when you talk about the Cleveland game, right? They were still alive in the playoff race in 22 when they went out to Cleveland.
Right.
It wasn't a great situation, right? They're in the same – they finished 8-9 that year. They missed the playoffs. But at least at that point, you'd be like, oh, maybe if they went out, they can get in. At this point, you're not feeling that way. So, like, a cold weather game under these circumstances feels a lot different.
Big news today for the Black and Gold, picking up another running back to the mix, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously somebody we are quite familiar here with in Louisiana, former first-round pick back in 2020 after winning a national championship at LSU. The good news is, obviously, former Tiger back in the mix, a native of Louisiana, but you got to be a little concerning. Is this something to do with Alvin Kamara and his groin issue and his availability possibly for Monday night?
I'd be surprised if this is a Monday night play, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't know if Helaire will be ready.
Well, right. I don't think 3 days of practice and and whatever is going to be, you know, I think you're more likely to see Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Jordan Mims if Alvin's unable to go. But, you know, the final 2 weeks of the season, it'll be interesting to see. The selfish part of me wants them to not shut Alvin down because I want him to get to that 1,000-yard mark. He's never hit it in his career in terms of 1,000 rushing yards in a season. And I know you're going to say, like, okay, Alvin's too important. You don't want to risk his health for next season. And I agree with that. I understand that. I still want to see him get to 1,000 yards. So we'll see if they end up shutting him down, because it doesn't sound like a super significant injury. It's a groin issue, an adductor issue. But when you're eliminated from playoff contention, which they basically are, how much are you going to push through something, especially in 24 degrees? I highly doubt he's going to be out there on Sunday, but we'll have to see. With Clyde, you know, the thing about Clyde is he kind of feel like, oh, everyone's out on him. He's 25 years old.
Right.
Right. He's played 48 career games. It's not like this is a guy who's washed up. I don't know if it really ever clicked for him in Kansas City. His best season there was as a rookie in 2020. And, you know, he had a really solid year. He had 800 rushing yards, another 200-something receiving yards, a bunch of touchdowns. And then, if you recall, the Chiefs came down to New Orleans. I want to say it was week 15. And I know you weren't there for it because nobody was there for it. Maybe, okay, I'm sorry, 5,000 people or so were there for it. But this was a game that Clyde messed up his hip really bad in the Superdome. He was done for the year. I don't know if he ever really got back to that form that he had prior to that. This year he was dealing with like PTSD, as I understand it, which stems back to an incident that occurred at LSU. And so, you know, it was just, he didn't play in a game this year. Last year he was overtaken for that job by Isaiah Pacheco. And I don't know, maybe a change of scenery will do him good. He's a talented player. Anyone who watched him in LSU understands that this is a talented football player, and we'll see. I don't think it's a terrible bet to say, hey, we got 3 weeks. Maybe if we bring this guy in, he shows something. He's on the practice squad. They cut Kendall Vickers to make that spot as a defensive tackle who's been on the roster all year. So he'll be able to be elevated any of these last 3 weeks. Again, I'd be surprised if it's this week, but against the Raiders, against the Bucks, maybe you can get him out there and see if he has something, because you know, you can never have too many talented football players in that room. So definitely something that it kind of feels a little bit like, hey, you know, let's give the fans something to be excited about.
Right.
Because if he gets out there in week 17 and gets in front of the home fans, I'm sure he's going to get a really warm reception. It's from Baton Rouge. Everyone remembers him. He won this national championship in the Superdome. And it's easy to forget when you look at that offense. Like, yeah, it had Joe Burrow, it had Ja'Marr Chase, it had Justin Jefferson. Well, a huge piece of that offense was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had 1,400 rushing yards, double-digit touchdowns. Go back and watch the LSU-Alabama game from 2019, and he was a monster in that game. So you know, who's to know? He may never get on the field for the Saints. We don't know, but it's definitely something exciting to talk about in this kind of dull ending of the season.
Yeah, and you mentioning, obviously, Alvin Kamara. We don't know what his status is going to be. Another guy that's kind of up in the air is Derek Carr, and it seems like someone like Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is really quick to write his season off and saying he's pretty much done for the year, but the Saints, not so much. They think he can still rehab, get back, clear the concussion protocol, and deal with that pain in the left non-throwing hand. But it's just a big question, at least for me. It's like, how do you handle snaps with that injury? I know some quarterbacks in the past have been able to do it, though. I just find it really hard to believe that we are going to see Derek Carr play again this year.
I guess the question to me is it worth doing, right? Like, I understand that, you know, he's a tough guy. He wants to get out there. He wants to play. But what are you really gaining from that? Maybe to play the Raiders, maybe it's worth it for him to get back and play the Raiders, his former team. You know, the funny note there is Derek Carr has currently lost as a starting quarterback to 31 different NFL teams. He's the only quarterback in NFL history to do that. The only team he has not lost to is the Raiders. So it's not.
Oh, that's it, Jeff. You just jinxed it now. Everyone's going to be, you know, on your case.
It's not a record you want to set, but it is kind of a weird thing. If you go out there and play the Raiders and you don't play well and you lose to the Raiders because you can't play with your broken hand, then you set that. You are officially, you know, no one's ever going to break that record until they expand to however many teams. Anyway, so there's that. But now it sounds like they're going to, if Derek is healthy enough to play, he wants to play. And I don't think there's been some conjecture about like, oh, you know, there's the injury guarantee situation, which we've seen be the case with Derek in the past, his last year with the Raiders. They benched him at the end of the season because if he gets hurt, then a bunch of money gets guaranteed. I think it's $30 million for the Saints that could potentially be guaranteed if he suffered an injury that lingered into next season, right? We saw it happen with Russell Wilson and the Broncos. They benched him at the end of the regular season with the same situation. We saw it this year with Daniel Jones and the Giants. They benched him again because that injury guarantee is not worth dealing with. I don't think that's going to be the case for the Saints. I really don't think that's going to be in the equation in terms of, oh, we're going to protect him from the injury because we don't want to do that. Because I think Derek's going to be your starter next year. And I think genuinely, like, I don't know why the team would operate in such a way, but either way, like, I just don't see it being worthwhile when you have a young quarterback that you probably want to get reps to. And this is the time of year where the games should be, I get it, you're going to try to go out there and win your games, but the games in this scenario should be about, okay, I want to get a look at young players. I want to see who has developed and who still needs to develop and who can develop, right? And you will gain far more from putting, whether it's Spencer Rattler or Jay Kaner, from putting them in scenarios where they can get meaningful reps and you can evaluate what you have in those players. So I kind of think, like, you know, there's a merit to allowing Derek to get that job back. But from an objective perspective of developing young players, I just don't see how it would benefit you. And if he's got to be playing through a significant injury for that to happen, I just don't see how that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I'm with you right there for sure. And I'm just curious, too, how you handle the quarterback situation with Spencer Rattler and Jay Kaner. Obviously, you want to, you know, like you mentioned, get some of these young guys reps. And obviously, Spencer Rattler looked a heck of a lot better last game. But do we get to see another, you know, Haner appearance with this team, you know, sometime during this regular season? I know, obviously, if things are going well, if, say, Spencer Rattler gets a start against Green Bay, but they're not going, you know, things aren't so going so well for him, do they maybe try Haner? Is it kind of his ship has sailed, his chance was against the Commanders? Because I just feel like just one half of play should have just determined whether or not he's good enough to play in the NFL.
Yeah, it's tough because if you're Jake, and we talked about this, but if you're Jake, you're kind of ticked off about how that all went because you feel like, hey, I'm a competitive guy. I'm going to go in at halftime. I'm going to make the adjustments. I'm going to come out and I'm going to play a lot better. Well, he never really gave him the chance to do that, right? Like, you see all the time, a quarterback has a rough first half. They bounce back in the second half. It's tough when the leash is that short. All that said, that was a really rough first half.
Yeah.
And it's tough to just watch that happen and not make an adjustment. If I'm the Saints, the one thing I don't want to do the rest of this season, however it looks, I don't want to put Spencer Rattler in as a starter and bench him because it's going so poorly that I cannot abide it, right? That's the one thing I don't want to do. And if you think that you're going to have to go that route, if you're worried that that might be the case, then I probably start Jake Haener because I'm okay with that. And if it doesn't go well, I can put Spencer in. And it's this week in particular that I'm concerned about, because it's going to be a very difficult scenario to go up to Green Bay, to play in the cold, to deal with a team that's playing for everything, right? Like, they have all the motivation in the world to go out there and beat the brakes off the Saints. And I think you're going to get their A game. If you put Spencer in, I just say this, if you put Spencer in, the leash has to be long. I'm not putting him in saying, hey, if things don't go well, I'm going to turn to Jake. But it's tough to develop two young guys. And if you feel like one guy can be a starter down the road, I think you have to see what that looks like. So I'd be surprised if they went back to Jake. But again, I also, if you're more confident in Jake, then that's where you go.
Yeah, it'll be definitely something that we'll be monitoring with this squad, because I think we all know, and we've talked about that, basically the upside with Spencer Rattler is definitely a lot higher than Jake Haener, but it is a little disappointing the fact that he didn't get a full shake at a game. You know, Spencer Rattler didn't get yanked in his three appearances, where Haener maybe could have gotten a shot in those. And yeah, I think from a talent standpoint, you see that Spencer Rattler is the more gifted quarterback, the more arm talent there. But there's still something to Jake Haener, obviously, being a fourth-round pick. To me, though, too, I think a lot of it is that I feel like Rattler is a Clint Kubiak guy, and that might have something to do with it as well. But that's not anything I have any inside knowledge on. I just feel like, obviously, since he was around for being drafted by, you know, with Clint Kubiak on his offensive coordinator, he's kind of more linked to him.
No, I mean, there's no question. Like, Jake was drafted by a completely different offensive staff. That said, they kept him around. They like him. He's a guy that, you know, if they did move on from Derek Carr next year, I don't think that's likely, but if they did, you would probably want him as your backup. So there is positivity. There's positive reasons why you might want to get him more action. That said, I don't know. I kind of want to see if, like, we saw Spencer get in there in the second half last week and look like a better player than what we saw in those three starts. It looked like he took some of those lessons. He was more comfortable in the pocket. You know, he was delivering the ball well. Obviously, 10 for 21 isn't going to, you know, blow anyone's mind, but the way he ran that 2-minute drill, got to be positive about that. So I kind of want to see, hey, okay, with another chance to start, does that translate, or does he kind of revert to what he was? My only question is, should that be in 24 degrees up in Green Bay against the 10-4 Packers team? Is that the best situation for him? And that's what the Saints coaches are going to have to figure out this week, if Derek obviously can't go. Now, we're a day behind. Normally, we'd have an injury report out today, and we'd get an idea of, okay, was Derek out there? Was Alvin out there? Because of the Monday night schedule, you're a day behind. So they had a practice today. They actually kind of switched up their schedule. So this was their Monday that they had today. Tomorrow will be their first full day of practice. So we'll get a better picture of what all that looks like, you know, as the week goes on. Riz has seemed to be the type of person who appreciates a little mystery. We've kind of gotten back to that. Sean used to be that way. Sean Payton used to be that way. And it seems like Darren liked that strategy. So wouldn't be surprised if he keeps it a mystery throughout the week, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and you look at this matchup, Jeff, the Saints, a massive underdog, opened up at 13.5 points. It's now up to 14.5 in some places. Just curious for you, how does this team go into Green Bay and at least stay competitive and in the game and not get, you know, blown out in the cold weather?
I think it's going to come down to if you can continue pressuring the quarterback like you've been able to do the last few weeks. Because if you can, then you can keep games low scoring. And that's what the Saints are going to need. They're going to need to keep this game in the high teens or low 20s to have a decent shot at staying in it. And if you can keep a game low scoring, typically you're not going to get, if you're talking about covering the spread, you know, if you can keep a game low scoring, you're typically not getting outscored by 14 points. So I think that's the key. And if you get some quality quarterback play in the process, great. But you're going to have to get after Jordan Love. You're going to have to put him on his back. You know, you're going to have to try to stop Josh Jacobs. I thought the Saints did a pretty good job last week of bobbling up Brian Robinson. Obviously, you know, two very different backs, but they like to do a lot of the same things. They're very physical. They want to get downhill. They're kind of one-cut runners. They're going to try to go through your face a lot of the time. So that's the key. If the Saints can play good defense, they get after the quarterback, then they can keep it close. If they don't, if they get run all over the way they have at some points this season, then I think that spread is about right.
Jeff, thanks for hanging out with me tonight, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow morning when we record some of the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Talk to you then, man.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thanks.
That was Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer. You can check out all his work, obviously, online at WWL.com. We are taking a break here on Sports Talk and be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL. The Saints on the road this week. They'll be in Green Bay for Monday Night Football, but you can win tickets to the Saints' final home game of the year against Las Vegas. That's Saturday, December 29th in the Caesars Superdome. Score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Open bar with premium liquor and all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. You just got to go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win tickets to the Saints battling the Las Vegas Raiders from Dudley DeBosier. That's the official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line real quick from 1800. Shut down Alvin. He did enough. Don't take a chance in that cold weather. Use Miller, younger. And I'm all aboard with that, honestly. I'm all want to pound more Kendra Miller, give him all the touches, and with this season a wash right now, I know the chances of making the playoffs are still there. They're under 1% at the moment, but the likelihood is obviously the Saints will be home for the postseason once again, and I find no benefit in using Alvin Kamara in any of the rest of these games. If he wants to get that 50 yards to get to 1,000 on the year, maybe I consider it, but I just can't feel, I don't feel like that's something that is something on his checklist that he wants to do. He's more concerned with obviously winning, not getting 1,000 yards rushing. Does 1,000 yards rushing in a year really mean anything anymore?
I mean,
there's 17 games.
To Jeff, it means something. It means something to Jeff at the very least. And then, you know, more importantly, like Jeff said, you know, this is a time of evaluation, and you don't need to evaluate Kamara. If you're evaluating anything, you're evaluating
evaluation.
How,
check. He's good.
You're evaluating like how much he has left in a tank. But I mean, you could do that. You could do that in training camp. You could do that in preseason. It doesn't need to be now. Now is about investing in who you've got in both Miller and, just as you said earlier, Edwards-Helaire. You're not. He's not 28. He's not 30. He's not pushing this high end that we're seeing with Barkley and you know, McCaffrey and Kamara and Derrick Henry. He's 25.
Still a lot of tread on that tire left, as they would say. We're going to take a break here on WWL. Be right back as we close things out on Sports Talk. Getting back into a little bit of Pelicans talk before we close out the show. The Birds are on the road tomorrow night taking on the Houston Rockets. They had a practice today as they get ready to take off for Houston. Here's what CJ McCollum had to say as the Birds get ready for the road trip.
You know, this time of year, a lot of rumors on social media.
What are the rumors?
Typically, they call
them. Pelicans are thrown in a lot, right? Teams that are kind of struggling, usually those players get thrown in the mix, or players have been thrown in the mix. Brandon Ingram, Zion, yourself. Yeah. Herb's name's been out there. Basically, everybody, seemingly, just about.
Shopping block.
Just about.
So, the question is, how do y'all kind of navigate that or block that out?
Yeah, do your job. The job is fair and give your best effort each night. Starts with preparation. It starts with, you know, trying to string together some wins, trying to string together healthy, quality possessions for us all. And I think it's twofold, right? Obviously, we're not doing well, so teams are going to be circling like sharks to try to figure out who they can poach. And our team is, you know, maybe entertaining, maybe not entertaining trades. Like, who knows? But I think it's just more about how you prepare. And, you know, for some players, you know, you want to be, you know, in a position to be liked by more than just one team. You know, that means that you have something to offer. And I think for a lot of us, you know, you have to look at it, you know, for that sense too. If teams are calling and inquiring about you, that means that you have value beyond where you're currently at. And that's always important in this league and in any job in general. Your job is to create value for yourself and for your family. So I think you have to look at it from that point of view. And then you want to play your best basketball so that you're presenting, you know, the best version of yourself, not only your current team, but for any other teams that may be interested in you. So I think that's the approach.
How would you assess the team's ability to kind of black out any of the rumors or anything they see on social media?
This isn't our, I mean, I've been in the league a long time, so it's like it's the time of the year where you can turn your mentions on, you can turn them off, you can turn on your alerts, you can turn them off. You got to figure out how you can kind of maneuver in that world. But I think a lot of guys who have been in the league, they understand it. Generally speaking, most players aren't going to, you know, be lifers on one team. You're going to end up playing on more than one team. There's only a handful of guys throughout the league's history that have played on one team throughout their entire career. So that's a part of the process. That's a part of, you know, being a professional athlete.
Do you take an obligation kind of as one of the vets in the league, a guy who's been in the league a long time, do you feel an obligation to kind of help keep the guys like focused on the task at hand?
You know, I mean, the guys that have been in the trade rumors are all been in the league for some years now, so I'm pretty sure they understand how it goes. I mean, we've had conversations and we'll continue to talk just so that we're all on the same page and all thinking, you know, how we're supposed to be thinking under these circumstances in this environment. But guys like him, you know, they don't have to really worry about trade rumors or anything like that, you know, at this stage. You know, that's probably later on down the line in his career, but not right now.
And CJ, how trying has this season been? I'm sure you've probably never been on a team that's been 5-22.
Never in my life. So it's been difficult. Losing is not great. You don't really feel comfortable doing many things. You know, when you're in these types of positions, you don't really feel comfortable going out to eat. It's kind of awkward. You feel bad for the fans. You feel bad for, you know, everybody that's involved in the environment of trying to, you know, win games. But it's our reality. So we got to live with it, live through it, and continue to work hard and give ourselves the best chance to dig ourselves out of a tough hole.
Do you think it's just a matter of getting healthy, though, or is a little big
I mean, it's a combination of things, right? We're slowly getting healthy, but it's also about finishing games. It's also about sustaining a high level of play for four quarters. A lot of things go into winning games. Health obviously plays a factor, too.
CJ McCollum talking after practice today for the Pelicans. And I want to ask you, Cullen, do you remember the last time the Pelicans won a road game?
It's got to be before Thanksgiving.
It was the second game of the season, and that was their only road win so far the year. That
so you're
was,
telling me it was
all
October.
The way October 25th in Portland. Yeah, so they're going for their second road victory of the year as they look to snap a four-game losing skid tomorrow night. And right now the Houston Rockets have been up there in the Western Conference, so a tough task ahead for these Birds. And, you know, it's frustrating for fans, it's frustrating for the players, just because I know there were a lot of expectations going into this year for this team. They made the addition at point guard with DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. You saw some progress last year from this squad. Unfortunately, Zion Williamson had the injury at the end of the year that kind of, you know, dashed all those playoff dreams. And going into this year, I felt like there was that renewed kind of energy, and way too early, we're already kind of stomped it out and folks are already talking about the draft.
It's crazy to think that we're spending so much time on trade deadline stuff. It's not tomorrow. It's not
forever.
Next week. It's February. It's like February 7th or 8th. Like, it is a ways away, folks. So if you're tired of trade talk, I hate to say it, but it's probably just going to pick up.
Coming back with more sports talk tomorrow, me and Mike DiTillo will be at the Treasure Chest Casino 4 to 7. You can check us out there. Then we'll get into Thursday Night Football. That'll be on 105.3 FM. Then Pelicans Rockets on 870 AM. Everything sports here on WWL. Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a great night.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.